What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and wherever else you find me at the Philly Pod. Be sure to go ahead and do that. If you are a new listener, appreciate you guys for checking out the show. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews, rate 5 stars as always. Each and every rating does help with the exposure of the show. Got a couple new ones since the last one, so appreciate you guys for doing that for us. It does help a lot. Joined by always my illustrious co-host. You can follow him on all platforms at Stephen Conrad Jr. Most recently, pissing people off, Toronto fans making fun of Pascal Siakam. I think it's happening. Go follow him at Real Stephen Conrad Jr. on Instagram, at Stephen Conrad Jr. on Twitter. Stephen, what to do, buddy?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I was just speaking my mind about Pascal Siakam. Obviously, this being an Eagles podcast, I just took it as a perfect opportunity, you know, to get back at Raptors fans, especially with what went down with Embiid. I thought, you know, that cheap shot, it wasn't like, I don't know, it still doesn't sit well with me. It ended our season, right? You know, so
yeah, good on you. It's always the trolling that gets the views on TikTok, I notice. So
that's how the internet works.
You understand the community, you know the assignment. That's that's good on you. We do have a treat for the OGs of the Philly Pod. If you've been listening for years now, I think this is our third year doing this show. Or fourth, can't remember, can't keep track of the days anymore. But if you've been listening for a while, you heard him before on this podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at JeffKerrCBS. He nationally covers the NFL for CBS Sports. He is Mr. Jeff Kerr. Long time no talk, buddy. What's going on?
I literally am an OG of this podcast, though. What was it, pre-COVID I first started coming on this?
Yeah, man. You had that, and then you started the J-Cast, and I remember coming on that. And then yeah, I don't know what happened to that show.
Busy, man. I don't have time for podcasts anymore.
I know. You don't got time for me no more. The hell is this?
I don't got time for anybody anymore. It ain't just you.
Hey, man, it comes with the
duties. This is a good get, apparently, then, huh? Yeah, this is our first guest of this season.
Jeff
right?
ain't a guest at this point. He amazes whenever he has time. Yeah. But it's different because for us, we just cover the Eagles. You know, Jeff covers all 32 teams, so I can imagine. I can literally only imagine having to keep track of 32 different teams. What's that like, especially now with everything that's going on in the NFL?
It's crazy. You forget, like, the little things, too. Like, everybody goes, oh, you're a national guy. You don't know this, you don't know that. I'm like, no, sorry, I don't remember the third stringer on your team. I'm sorry, I don't. Like,
I
still joke with Eagles fans. I'm like, the only reason you guys love Britton Covey is because he's the guy who returned a punt or a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Can you blame us? No. You seen us punt? Have you seen us returning punts the last 5 years?
Jeff's saying he doesn't have time for all that. That's what he's saying.
Oh, yeah. He only has time for first stringers. Sorry.
No, I have time for the second guys, too.
So be sure to go ahead and follow.
This is how I remember practice squad guys or like guys like that. I'm like, oh, he played there. That's how I remember him.
Ah, it's kind of sad. Fair enough. It is. It's got. I was thinking this yesterday. It has to be wild for like coaches, especially when it becomes cut day and you have to trim down the rosters and a whole like pool of players are now new available and you have to kind of consider those guys. It sounds like it's overwhelming, and I wouldn't know how coaches and staff like sift through the players of who could potentially be a good fit. Do you think they like zero in on certain players, hoping they get cut so they can pounce on them, or hoping they go to the practice squad so you can scoop them up? I wonder how that
the
goes.
First cut day's next stuff. Week, by the way.
Oh god, yep. 92 what does it go down to? 92 trim down to 75. Or is it 85?
It's 85
or 75. Damn.
It's 85 first. Then you do 75. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Comes quick.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that is fast. Well, you got the first preseason game. We'll go ahead and get into that. Like I said, appreciate you guys for tuning in to the show. Before we get started, as always, shout out to the sponsor, SeatGeek. They're the leading mobile-focused ticket platform that enables fans to buy and sell tickets for sports and concerts and theater events. Steven and I will be at the preseason game tomorrow. We're recording this on a Thursday. Get your tickets ready for the Monday night home opener or any of the other games throughout the season, or get tickets for the Sixers. James Harden's coming back. Maybe KD's coming. Kevin Durant might be here. Get your tickets now for that. The Phillies are red hot. Haven't lost a game in I don't even know how long. So go ahead and cop your tickets on SeatGeek. Use promo code THEPHILLYPOD when you sign up to get $20 off your first purchase. They have the largest inventory on the web, provide the most bang for your buck, and have a gorgeous interactive maps with 3D views that make finding the perfect seat simple. That's promo code THEPHILLYPOD when you sign up for $20 off your first purchase. Your next best night ever is waiting. And if you're going to the tailgates, don't meet me there. Beat me there. Steven will finish that one day.
Yeah, I'll get it eventually. I always forget.
We was at a tailgate, believe it or not, for open practice. 30,000 fans at open practice, if you could believe it.
That's pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Apparently, the Packers had 50,000. They have the best quarterback in football, so it don't shock me.
Well, Packers fans are crazy. Like, that open practice at Lambeau Field, they do every year. It's like a Green Bay Day.
Oh, it's at Lambeau?
Like,
well, there you go.
Yeah, it's at Lambeau, dude. Where else are they going? If ours is at the Link, theirs is going to be at Lambeau.
Well, ours wasn't always at the Link.
Oh, yeah. Well.
They had the 1 year at Franklin Field.
Yeah, that was whatever. That was whatever. I'll say, man, they filled up that lower bowl entirely. Like, that was, to see that many fans there was quite jarring, because we were at last year's. And I felt like there was a lot more people this year. But that might be the A.J. Brown effect. I think everybody kind of wanted to see.
You know, it was funny. I wanted to ask A.J. Brown this the other day, and I didn't get a chance to. You know, how they feel, you know, practicing in front of 30,000. But I think A.J. Brown is a little caught on to everything. I don't think he wanted to rip the Titans in public. He could do that enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, I think he's going to do that when they play the Titans this year. Physically.
I always forget that they play Tennessee.
I know. I will definitely be at that game. That's going to be a fun one. So we brought Jeff on this show to kind of wrap up week three of training camp now, preview the first preseason game, and kind of bounce some ideas, thoughts, rumors, chatter, whatever is going on throughout the Eagles organization. And Jeff, being a national guy, you know, he doesn't have the Eagles goggles that Steven and I may tend to wear. So good to have Jeff here for an objective presence throughout the show. So thanks again, Jeff, for taking the time out of his much stuffed schedule, which I'm sure he found a sliver of time to come and hop on here to talk to us. So much appreciated for that. So week three wraps up. We have preseason tomorrow. And the takeaways kind of from this week at training camp. Jeff was – which days were you there, Jeff, actually?
I
know you were
there
yesterday or not yesterday.
What days was I there?
Today, today's
the day
Thursday.
Jalen Hurts and – Yeah, today, the day Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown spoke, so I guess it was Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, because I remember you tweeting, and I was like, oh, interesting that he's there that day. We're never there on the same day, because I was there the week prior, and then you were there. It's always...
I've been to five practices now, I think, because I was
five. I've been to four. Yeah, you were there. I saw that. That's good on you by that. So, initial... what's your thoughts on Hurts? Because what I've seen has been encouraging. I feel like he's making quicker decisions and making tighter throws and things like that. But I also see some of the older habits shine through, such as holding the ball, you know, too long at times and kind of taking off running. I noticed that a lot at the open practice, actually, that I expect Hurts to not run as much this year. And I don't know if it was because, you know, it was in front of the link and it was his birthday. They wanted to put on a show. But he ran quite a bit at open practice. I was kind of surprised. So what has been your objective analyst opinion on Jalen Hurts from what you've been able to see in practice thus far?
So the open practice, I actually kind of hate it because I feel like it's one of those where it is more of just a show. I don't think they're going hard. I think it's like you said, Vic, they're trying to appease the fans a little bit. So It's more of like, okay, we're wearing pads. We are practicing, but it's more of a showcase for everybody. But overall, I think his accuracy is getting better. I think his timing is better. The whole A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert thing, he goes on the line. I agree with. As you know, I'm not a big guy in the whole practice stats. But I'm looking at two things. Is he going to the middle of the field more? Yes. And is he more accurate and more quick in his decision makings? I think so. I don't like him running as much in camp. But again, like, sometimes they're wearing shoulder pads with shorts. Sometimes they're just... they're barely having shells on at all, if anything. So I think, honestly, Friday is going to be a good indicator for the series or two that he actually plays of what Jalen Hurts has actually picked up.
Yeah, what I've heard a lot and what I've been able to see is that A.J. Brown is obviously the primary target. Now, you want to get the chemistry down. He's learning a new offense, so you want to get as many reps together as possible. Devontae was here last year. Him and Hurts already have somewhat of that continuity. But now that Devontae's been out of practice, you know, I've heard he's been getting even more targets. Are you slightly concerned, and Steven, I want your opinion on this too. Are you slightly concerned? I know it's early and we haven't seen anything in the game yet, but is there any concern at all that this could be like a Wentz-Ertz kind of deal where you're just zeroing in on one guy and you're trying to force it to one guy throughout the whole game, or is this just them trying to get on the same page before the regular season?
Well, you're comparing a preseason slash like training camp.
I'm not comparing the situations. I'm just saying, will this get to that point?
I get it, though. I get it. Well, a couple things. As far as him potentially, I guess we'll say, because we got to see once the actual thing comes around, once the actual season starts. Yeah, Devontae has missed what, the last four or five practices.
Four straight.
Although, I'm kind of changing the argument here. This kind of ties into what I think I said this, Vic, more than a couple pods ago. I think I said A.J. Brown would be the leading target man this season. I think you said Devontae, or do I have it mixed up?
You said A.J. I said Devontae would lead. I said Devontae would lead the team in catches, and A.J. would lead the team in yards.
I see it the other way around because I don't know. I could be wrong, but I feel like Devontae is going to be more of a down the field presence, where I think A.J. Brown, due to his size, and there's definitely some comfort there with Jalen. I think he's going to be more of like an intermediate guy, maybe short game. You like him. You like his yak ability, right, in this offense, something the Eagles didn't have last year. You know, that big body in the middle of the field, like Jeff said, which is something that lacked, you know, last year in this Eagles offense. So we'll see. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned a little bit with his but then again, like, there's not much footage to really be like, oh, he's not targeting Devontae Smith when he hasn't practiced. But at the same time, you know, these were some questions we had about Jalen, you know, last season, that he wasn't really looking Devontae's way. I mean, a prime example was that Bucks playoff game. He didn't target him until the second half, you know, in a do-or-die playoff game. So, you know, hopefully that isn't the case, but we'll see.
Yeah, Devontae's first target in that playoff game came with 2 minutes left in the first half. So got to find a way. And I know Sirianni said at the end of the year that you got to figure out to get more targets to Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith. And now A.J. Brown figures into that equation. Jeff, how do you figure the target share? How do you see this kind of going out? Is it going to be the A.J. Brown show and the rest? Or you think it's going to be they're going to try and spread it out to all these guys? What are your takeaways from the Hurts-Brown connection thus far in practice?
Well, they are paying A.J. Brown a lot of money to get a lot of targets.
Yeah, for $100 million, you better be targeting that guy. Yeah.
Exactly. So if they want to force feed A.J. Brown, and, you know, when I was there Tuesday, A.J. Brown made a couple nice catches. I mean, James Bradbury's probably got the better of him, but Darius Slay has you know, he's having trouble with AJ Brown, and that's not exactly a bad thing. Like, you know, iron sharpens iron, right, guys? So I'm looking at it as AJ Brown's getting his work in. Jalen Hurts trusts him. It's like the one ball, AJ Brown almost just leveled me to the ground. If he wasn't, if we both weren't paying attention, that's what would have happened. But Hurts threw the ball. I'm like, where's he going with that? And then I see Brown coming just out of nowhere. And Brown just snags it, gets both feet in. I'm like, okay, these two are definitely in sync. I think they're in midseason form, which is kind of crazy. So I don't mind him targeting AJ Brown. But again, you know, we don't have Devonta Smith yet because obviously the Eagles are placing him bubble wrap with the groin injury, which they should. So I think we're just not going to see this until the regular season, how this all comes about. So I don't mind Hurts targeting Brown and Goddard. Zach Pascal has actually been looking pretty good in camp, and I think Hurts is starting to trust him a little more too. It just took Zach Pascal a while to get going because of the food poisoning thing, and I think when he came back,
he was throwing up for a week straight, I guess.
Yeah, he came back when I was in Canton. I come to Eagles practice and I'm like, wait, Zach Pascal's back? And they're like, oh yeah, that's right, you weren't here for a week. So yeah, it literally did feel like I was gone from training camp and just kind of forgot everything that happened.
Yeah, sure. It looked midseason form for Brown and Hurts. It looked that way in open practice with that one spectacular, Steven, we saw it, the spectacular grab he had in that. And that looked like seeing that like in a stadium and like a euphoric atmosphere, like that was special to watch. And that felt like midseason form when he caught that touchdown over Bradbury. So that's definitely special. I look forward to seeing them too. I just hear about the target share. And, you know, the first thought is like, man, I hope some people aren't going to be upset when the Browns go into A.J. Brown all the time. But winning, you know, appeases everything. So as long as they're winning games, doesn't really matter. Jeff, you mentioned James Bradbury. I think all of us to this point have come away impressed with his performance this summer. The notion that he is cooked or washed or whatever the case is because of a down year in Patrick Graham's defense that had him trying to play man when he's obviously his own corner. You know, I think that notion was overblown that James Bradbury is like on the back end of his career. He still looks like the guy who was able to earn, you know, 82 pass breakups in his career at this point. And he especially looks good physically matched up against A.J. Brown. How impressed have you been with James Bradbury this summer so far?
I mean, the guy's been a beast. I got to be honest with you. Like, it doesn't matter who he's covering. He seems to win a fair share of his matchups. And I keep thinking, wow, Darius Slay's already pretty good. This guy looks back. I just think he had a down year last year, and he was getting paid a lot of money because Dave Gettleman was terrible with the salary cap, and the Giants had to make a business decision. And I don't think he was a guy they really wanted to get rid of. And I know a lot of Giants fans that said the same thing. They're like, well, we didn't really get rid of him, but it happened, and now he's with the Eagles. And look, it's masking for a safety position that is kind of an unknown. I mean, Marcus Epps is definitely looking like he's going to be a starter. It's just who's going to start with him. Is it going to be Anthony Harris? Is it going to be Jaquaski Tart? I'm not sure, honestly, to this point. But I do think the Eagles secondary is going to be pretty good just because of Slay, Bradbury, and Maddox.
Yeah, that's definitely a top cornerback trio. I think they can compete with the Chargers, who they got over there. And then you look at Green Bay, who is Rasul Douglas, Jair Alexander, and those boys. So I think they can, Eric Stokes, I think, is over there. So they're definitely amongst the top cornerback trios. And Bradbury has been, he's looked every bit. Sometimes he looks better than Slay. Slay kind of has a tough time with these bigger guys. And Bradbury is going to be able to match up well with the DKs and those guys that Slay kind of struggles with.
And that's why they got him, honestly. Like, it's right. Not a knock on Slay. It's just, that's not Slay's game.
Yeah, not at all. James Bradbury is definitely the more physical guy, and he's had a great summer. So
not a lot of guys are built like AJ Brown in this league, luckily.
Yeah, or
right?
DK Metcalf, that Ole Miss factory they got going on.
That's why you trade for AJ Brown. That's why you sign DK Metcalf, because
it is wild that, and Jeff, as the NFL, as a guy who surveys the entire landscape of the NFL, how crazy is it that of like TJ McLaurin and DK Metcalf and all these other guys that were supposed to, you know, get new deals and ended up staying put? I think Deontay Johnson stayed put. Who else am I forgetting? DK McLaurin. There's other guys.
Well, Tyreek Hill got paid.
Yeah, but guys out of the 2019 class that were supposed to get paid, and they all stayed put. Debo stayed put as well. How crazy is it that AJ Brown was the only guy to have to go to a new team. Like, is it that crazy that everybody else stayed on their new teams and AJ Brown is the one guy that didn't want to, that didn't, the Titans didn't want to pay, and he moved on to another team? How crazy is that for you?
Well, once Steve got paid, I started thinking to myself, wait a minute, of the big four, there's one that's in a different uniform, which at this offseason, come March, you would have figured all of them would have been gone, right?
Yeah, like, I still don't know why, like, the Titans didn't pay this guy. I'm still trying to figure it out.
And yeah, and then they decide to, again, they got a first-round pick back, great, but you're banking on Treylon Burks to be AJ Brown, then you got Tennessee basically saying Brown isn't that good. I'm like, no, it's not Brown, it's your quarterback. Your quarterback's a fine quarterback, but I don't think he's anything special. Like, I like Tannehill, but if the Titans wanted to say, okay, we're a run-first team, and we just felt like not paying him $25 million a year, that's fine. But it just seemed like they were way off in negotiations, and eventually the truth's going to come out what happened with John Robinson, with A.J. Brown, with Mike Vrabel. But it just seems like it's a whole, let's just rip A.J. Brown for whatever he tweets or whatever he says to this point.
Yeah, there's definitely more to that story. It's just shocking that out of all those people who have come out of that stellar class, that A.J. Brown, one of his all said and done, was the only one to move despite the D.K. rumors.
I thought Debo was as good as gone.
I thought he was out. I'm surprised they were able to repair that relationship. Steven, as far as open practice is concerned, obviously we were there together. Was there anything that stood out to you in the open practice, since that was your first time really getting a chance to look at these players, you know, live and in person? What kind of stood out to you the most, and what was something that kind of worried you?
Well, my two takeaways were, the first one was the defensive line, man. They just got in there so fast, aggressive, just could be the strength of the team this year. I mean, that's kind of the formula with the Eagles, building, you know, through the trenches. I do think, though, was it Lane? One of the tackles didn't play, or was it Maialata? One of them didn't play in open practice.
It was probably Maialata, because he's still the
I think it was Maialata, yeah.
He came back and
Dillard out with concussions.
Yeah, I think Tuesday he came back, but he was limited.
And again, you kind of have to take it, you know, like, with a grain of salt, because, like Jeff said, sometimes I wonder, man, like, was that open practice, like, scripted a little bit? Obviously, with our, you know, pro wrestling background, we're very familiar with that word.
Come on, use your heads, guys.
Hey, I mean, it's for it was his birthday.
Well, like,
it was
what
fun
if that AJ Brown touchdown was scripted? Because the offense,
scripted,
I'm not
to what?
Say
to make
bad.
Sure he catches it? That was definitely not Bradbury's.
They were
him.
Barely moving the ball. Jalen was doing some QB options, slowly moving up the field. The down the field pass game was non-existent, and then all of a sudden, whatever. I don't need this to get clipped or anything, but sometimes I wonder.
They had the touchdown, 30-yard touchdown, and they threw
I'm not taking away from it, man. I'm just bringing up the question.
And they threw a lot to AJ in the middle.
I don't think the play itself was scripted, but I think the practices are very light.
Right.
Oh, especially
that's
the open
saying.
Ones. Yeah, of course.
No, just maybe like the offensive lines, like, you know, we're not really going to get up in these guys' faces. We know, you know, once they get by us, they're not going to hurt Jalen in front of these fans. So
I felt bad for the guy.
It felt like the defensive line dominated, did it not, Vic? That's what it felt like.
That's how it's going to be. You're not allowed to really get physical with these guys. And the pressure, like, Minshew was swallowed up a ton during open practice. I felt like he couldn't get a whole lot.
I'll tell you what, guys, Minshew's been terrible this camp. That ain't just the open practice.
Yep. I've seen that. He's throwing two picks in every practice, basically. And he's, I think at this point, he's entrenched in a QB2 battle with Reed Sinnett, of all people. So a guy that at one point was a threat to potentially unseat Jalen Hurts is now fighting Reed Sinnett for the QB2. And I'll be shocked if Carson Strong is even on the practice squad at this point.
Yeah, see,
that's another guy.
You guys are more in touch with the fans here. Please tell them that Carson Strong is not any good.
Yeah, there's no point in even trying to talk to them, dude. They see the cannon. They're like, dude, put Strong in there. You can bomb it. Yeah, that man can barely
throw. I saw the cannon the 4 or 5 camp practices I was at. I forget he's even on the team half the time.
I saw the cannon to other players, that's for sure. That's for sure. And Steven,
by the way,
I
still feel bad for the guy who got the Jordan Davis Cam Jurgens video, because that just blew up.
He's getting
up,
shredded.
And,
oh, yeah.
But Cam's beaten Davis a bunch of times, too. If honestly, I would say it's 50-50.
Yeah, and Jordan Davis,
can I say
that.
Something about that? Or you're going to touch on it?
Go ahead. No, go
Jordan
ahead.
Davis's response. I just thought he... These are the things I value. And probably too much, especially after what has gone down here in Philly, not just the Eagles, obviously, with Carson Wentz, but Ben Simmons. I'm a big character guy, and I thought the way Jordan Davis kind of responded to that question, you know, going out of his way to mention that Cam Jurgens is kind of winning the battle. He almost gave him credit, you know, for that and defending his player and stuff like that, which, you know, I respect that, man, and I value that as a rookie. That's, you know, a heck of a way to carry yourself, you know?
Well, I got to give the Eagles a lot of credit for this, too, because they brought Davis up that day, and then they brought Jurgens up right after him. So at least you had a story. Like, they made sure, like, Davis just kind of set the whole thing up, and then he got to ask Cam about it, and, like, Cam's like, man, I appreciate that. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, you know, but you could tell these guys were working to improve their craft.
Yeah, and for those of us that have been there know that Jurgens is having a solid camp, too. So it's not like he just – it was just one viral clip, you know, and he did throw him in the backfield. So I could see why – it made the rounds. Steven, I remember you saying at practice that you came away disappointed with Jalen Reagor. Didn't get the targets that you wanted, huh, in open practice?
Well, you know, all these things coming out in training
camp.
Just
ready to see him put on a show, huh?
Yeah, like – especially if we were going to make this argument that it's scripted. Scripted play for Reagor.
That's your own argument. You know, I don't even know where that argument stems from.
I'm almost scared to tweet anything good or bad about Jalen Reagor because you feel like you're just going to get ripped at this point.
John Clark,
I was standing right next to John Clark when he made that tweet, right, about Reagor, about how the pass, like, he dropped it. He did drop it. There was nothing wrong, John said, and yeah. Reagor just rips him to shreds. And I'm like, dude, like, I almost felt like responding to him, dude, just own accountability. Yeah. That's all we're asking.
The minute I saw that tweet, I knew it was going to be deleted like 15 minutes later. Like, you know it's not going to be on Twitter for long.
We even joked in the media house about how long do you think it's going to be deleted?
Yeah, over 12 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, I was generous. It's an hour. They're like, come on, man. You don't actually think that. I'm like, no, I don't.
It's rough. You had another point, Steven?
I think it was literally a week after that is when, which is now, right? So maybe a week or two after, right around the current time. He had that, press conference after practice. And I've seen a lot of reporters saying that he seems like really mature. He was quoted on saying he wants to play in Philadelphia for the rest of his career.
I bet he does.
He just seems like the most conflicted individual, man. How do you go from, you know,
first round
tweeting
pick and
now
you're fighting for a spot, man? It's tough.
So
it's tough.
I was there on social media. Yeah, I wasn't there to say, but when he said that, like, I had the worst, like, I had a bad thought in my head. I'm like, okay, so how long's your career going to be? And, like that's a terrible thing to think, because I do like Jalen Reagor, but it's one of those where, I'm hoping he finds something here. Like, he's not going to be
a rotational splash player. That's all we need him to do.
There's
no
nothing
pressure.
Wrong with that. Like
no
he
eight
can
targets
honestly,
a game, you know? Catch a punt, yeah. Please don't be catching punts.
The Eagles actually told him, I think it was Aaron Moorhead or somebody, they went to him and said, you know, you're not going to be the 11-12 target guy anymore.
Sirianni told him to his face.
Yeah.
So that's.
But that's the reality you need to hear sometimes. Like, sometimes players need to hear. Like,
yeah, that means he's going to bust his ass in those three plays. And the rumors aren't going away anytime soon because there's one that Matt Lombardo put out that apparently the Broncos have been kicking the tires on potentially trading for Reagor with Tim Patrick tearing his ACL. So, you know, they have Judy, they have KJ Hamler, they have Cortland Sutton. Maybe Reagor can find a role there. So there are those rumors going out. So, Jeff, if you had to put a percentage on it, and Steven, I want your answer too. But, Jeff, if you had to put a percentage on it, how likely is it that Jalen Reagor is in Philadelphia on this roster? Because I know he's basically going to make the roster because it costs $8 million, you know, in cap to cut him. So they're not just going to release him. So maybe trades or what have you. If you had to put a percentage on it, how likely is it that Jalen Reagor is in Philadelphia come week one?
I'll say 55 for right now. But again, I got to see. I got to see
the 45% chance he's getting traded, you think, before the season starts?
I mean, I just don't know, like, what role they have for him at this point. You would think he's going to be, you know, like you said, Vic, one of those slash players. But there's going to be teams that are going to maybe want a piece of the pie here and feel like they can unleash him. I mean, look at the Baltimore Ravens. They have been interested in him. It's It's tough. I still do think, though, if push comes to shove, he's going to make the roster because, like you said, it's like $7.7 million or something like that. Like, you're not going to lose that dead cap space. So I'm looking at it as I think Eagles are going to try to find a role for him. I think they're going to give him as many looks as they can this preseason. But we got to face facts. He's auditioning for 31 other teams, too. It's not just
Yeah, good training. He's putting together a good training camp, and teams know that he is running with the second team. So maybe somebody will bite. Steven, to your fandom over here, and you're just holding out hope that number 18 is going to do something in Philadelphia. How confident are you that he's going to be here when week one rolls around in that season opener in Detroit?
I'll go 60%. I mean, look, I just don't know what is the determining factor here. It's got to be compensation, obviously, right? Like, what are the Eagles, are we sure they're leaning towards trading him, or do you think they would actually?
I'm almost certain that's the case. Yeah, they tried to in the draft, and now they're going to try to call
out. If they can unleash that contract, they'll trade him.
Yeah, heck yeah, $7 million in cap. I think he'll get traded by the deadline, that's for sure. But what is fair compensation, Steven? A fourth-round pick right now. Somebody comes up, Ravens, Denver,
that's the highest one I've heard so far.
They knock on the door, we'll give you a fourth right now for Jalen Reagor. You do it?
I'd do it.
Okay. Jeff, what is the lowest you'll go to trade Jalen Reagor? The lowest draft compensation you'd go to trade Jalen Reagor?
Well, they ain't getting a day two pick for him. Let's just put it that way.
Damn. Round six it is.
I mean, it's gonna be a day three pick if anything. They might just give him away at that point. Like, they just get the hit off the book. So, it might only be like a sixth or seventh round pick. Honestly, That's the value around the league right now. I don't think the Baltimore Ravens, for example, I think they're more than content with going into the year with Rashad Bateman.
Just Rashad Bateman and the rest? That's it. That's all I got. Tylan Wallace is over there. Who else is over there?
They love James Prochet over there. They love him.
Devin Duvernay, right? He's over there?
Yeah. He's a good return man, though.
Him and Reagor kind of play the same role, that little jackknife kind of Swiss Army knife kind of.
The only difference is one wasn't a first-round draft pick.
Yes, and one knows how to catch punts. So that's that. Speaking of catching punts, one guy's turning some heads amongst the media and making the rounds, of course, to the fans. And I think an early candidate for the Paul Turner Award is starting to emerge. For those of you who aren't familiar with Paul Turner, because some people reached out to me to ask me who that was after I wrote about
it. It was only six years ago.
That's what I'm saying. How old am I getting? But Paul Turner was a preseason standout in 2016. He had, I think, 20 catches for like 200 yards, and he had a punt return touchdown. And he looked to all of us as fans like a lock to make the roster. And what did the Eagles do in true Eagles fashion? They cut him. They cut the guy, and we don't have nobody here to catch passes from Carson Wentz. It's Jordan Matthews and Bryce Treggs and whoever else is here.
By the way, Vic, I got a story about that. So that year was my first year covering the Eagles, right? And, of course, like, I was working for 24/7 Sports. One of the biggest articles that year, actually, two of my top 10 articles involved Paul Turner. It was Paul Turner's game against the Jets with the punt return touchdown for the highlight, and when the Eagles cut him. And it was like a running cut down list. And the fans were like, wait, what? Are you kidding me? Like, we're not good. And I'm like, I felt them. Like, I understand. And I was like, well, maybe it's because they traded for DGB, and, you know, that wasn't it.
God.
Yeah, you remember him?
Oh, man. Yeah, Jesus.
But by the way, remember, I'm still shocked Eagles fans forget Raheem Mostert was on the team.
Yeah, he was, and he was pretty good in preseason too. There was a lot.
Was.
And actually, the Paul Turner
they
cut drew
running
more
back, though.
Drew more scrutiny than releasing Travis Fulgham a couple years ago. So for those of you that remember the uproar when that happened, even though he hasn't done anything since, the uproar for Paul Turner was much worse when they cut him. So this year's, to my point, this year's Paul Turner looks to be undrafted free agent Britton Covey. And I'll say this, if anything else, they keep him on the roster. And the people that have been listening all summer long know my stance on this. This man, to me, looks the most comfortable fielding punts. He looks like when he catches the ball, he knows immediately where to go. There's no slow thinking. Like, he's decisive with the ball. He knows where he's going the minute he catches it. And he has the speed to complement that. Of course, he's 5'8", 170, so you better be fast if you're if you're that little. And we even saw Steven at open practice compared to some of the other guys, just how quick he is in punt return drills. So, Jeff, thoughts on Britton Covey? You know, you've been up close with him. Thoughts on him? And for you, realistically, because if you look at it now, the top four receiver spots are obviously solidified. Rager's probably getting that fifth one. The sixth one will be between Greg Ward or Britton Covey, whatever the situation is going to be. What are your thoughts on Covey, and what are his chances of making the final 53?
I think he has a shot because they need a return man, right? And yes, this guy is a professional return man. Now, one thing I do want to see, everybody wants to see him return kicks and punts in the preseason. I kind of want to see him in the slot. I want to see him catch some passes. Slot.
Nah, no, I'm seeing Wes Walker comparisons. Wow. What the hell is this? Julian Edelman.
I'm not going that far. I just want to see him catch football, right? Because, I mean, you played for Utah for 4 years, and you were a big contributor on there. You have to know how to do something besides return kicks. And, yeah, I'm excited. I kind of want to see – honestly, like, I don't think he's going to make the team, but I just want to see how Devin Allen looks, like, in an actual game.
Oh, yeah. I think that ship has sailed, man. He's putting it together the last few days, though, I've heard.
Yeah. But Martin Frank and I were joking about this on Tuesday. We're like, I just want to see him hurdle a defender just one time.
Yeah, we'll have to see Battle of the White Boys at slot receivers, what this is going to be. Steven, what you hoping for to see Covey out preseason? I pray to God we see – I feel like if he returns one punt for a touchdown, he's on the roster. That's it. Like,
well, first of all, I'm just kind of disappointed.
Yeah, well, apparently not, because Paul Turner did it and he still got cut. So, man, who knows?
Well, first, obviously, he's going to win his way on special teams, I would assume. But, I mean, to really guarantee a spot, he would have to outperform Rager receiving the ball in preseason, right? I'm disappointed with this whole thing because
about the bottom of the receiving roster.
No, because his calling card is punt returning, right? Well, that was one of Jalen Rager's things coming out of the draft, and it's like you're just going to get beat out by this guy, like –
Yes, he is.
Like, come on, man.
Hey, it's between those options. So the options literally are Rager, who muffed the – didn't he muff a ball in the playoff game? He muffed the ball in the playoff
That's
game.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand what happened.
Game. And then you have Greg Ward, who will catch the ball but doesn't know what to do. Once he catches it, he gets 6 yards and he's down on the ground. So at least, hey, you want to make sure the ball is caught. Put Greg Ward back there. I like Huntley and kick returns. I think I would like to see Huntley doing that and Covey doing punt returns. But as far as I can tell – and Jeff, maybe you can attest to this in practice. As far as punt returns can tell, he looks consistent. He looks the most comfortable fielding the punts. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. So I haven't really paid too much attention to the punt returns.
Yeah, who wants to watch punt return drills? Who wants to watch those?
I'm a special teamer. I should like special teams more than anybody else. But it is funny though watching. Yeah, you know, doing the kick return, doing the punt return. Covey seems he's able to do both, which and very smoothly, I might add. Like it's just I don't know if it's a get up or what, but the guys back there, he just seems like it's fluid, like it's natural to him. Like he knows this is his meal ticket toward making the Philadelphia Eagles. So, if they keep six receivers, I think Britton Covey makes his team.
Here's the question: if they only keep five, I think they keep six personally, just because five seems short. And they only have three running backs as is, unless one of these other undrafted guys stick around. But between the two of you, if we only keep five, and we know the top ones are AJ, Devontae, Quez, and Pascal, if we're keeping five, who is getting that last spot? Who Rager. Do you want in that last spot?
It's Rager.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Man, no Covey, huh? Covey on the practice squad getting scooped up.
I'm a businessman, Vic. It's Rager.
Oh, see, I mean, what if they trade Rager? I'm not saying for the financial, aspect of it.
I'm just saying that if we're going off the initial 53, it's going to be Rager.
Yeah, he's got the highest return value. I don't mean special teams. I just mean return value. He could be a trade piece. Yeah.
Oh, you know, God. We'll see. Sorry, Covey. I asked the poll on Twitter yesterday that same question. 50% of it got Britton Covey, and then the other two were divided between Greg Ward and Jalen Rager. Any infatuation within you two for Greg Ward, or is he kind of just worn out his time here in Philadelphia?
I really like Greg Ward. I just think it's time. I do. Like, the guy does catch passes. He does make plays. It's there are teams that could use a Greg Ward.
Mm, yeah, well, apparently
we just overvalued him here because our receivers could never do
right.
the main things receivers.
Now we have a decent room. Sorry, Greg.
Oh yeah, yeah. You mean NFL fans overvalue your own players? Like
NFL fans,
don't sell yourself short on that.
We overvalue. And speaking of overvaluing, there's a player here that's undervalued right now, and I think it's Miles. What does Steve say? Miles Sanders is underrated.
I've been saying that.
I think
yeah,
he's underrated by Eagles fans at this point. Jeff, I don't even know what the national perception is on Miles Sanders at this point.
Nationally, we love Miles Sanders. So
is he a top 10 running back? Is he a top 10 running back?
Well,
it's close. Yeah, so this is funny. I go on with my buddies at Buffalo Rumblings. You know, those guys, they Gary, Bruce Nolan, good guys, right? But the day that they heard that the reports, Miles Sanders was on the second team, which we all know wasn't true, Bruce texts me literally and goes, "Why do the Eagles hate this guy so much? All he does is produce." I'm like, "I don't know. Why does everybody hate Devin Singletary who produces?" But I think people look at things through fantasy football and not through actual football sometimes. And Miles Sanders is good. He's top 4 in the league in yards per touch among running backs. He's top 3 in the league in yards per carry among running backs since he's entered the league. He's good. He's a home run threat. Nick Sirianni just needs to use him more.
What about the notion that and obviously it's overblown to this point because the second team stuff is over and done with.
It's overblown.
Oh, it's definitely overblown. But as far as Gainwell, what are you hoping to see from him this year? And people
I think he's a great third down back. I really do.
Third down. Does he ever have the potential in any way, shape, or form in life, in his whole shelf life as an NFL player? Does he have it in him to be a lead back?
No. I like Kenny Gainwell.
That's all I want to hear. Because people were trying to say Gainwell.
I like
this,
Kenny Gainwell.
And Gainwell's going to take over, and Miles, we're not going to extend him. And I'm just like, if you want Gainwell to be an every down back in this offense, we are fucked. It's over. We're done for.
Okay, there was only one backup running back for the Eagles in the last 25 years I actually thought could be a starter. And they tore his ACL, Carrell Buckhalter.
Shit. Was the Garrett
Terrell Buckhalter was a beast his rookie year. He was an absolute beast. Like he looked like he was going to take over for Drew Staley at some point. And then he tore his ACL in 2002. And was still a beast when he came back, but he wasn't as explosive. And I got to give that man credit. He was in the league for 10 years and had 3 ACL tears. That's insane. Mm,
Steven, do you hope to extend Miles Sanders after this? Well, you're the one that thinks he's underrated at this point. Go into that.
Obviously, I mean, Eagles fans, so maybe, you know, Jeff isn't as aware, but like all of a sudden, man, a big part of this Eagles fan base has just turned on the guy for whatever reason. And I get it. His health can be a concern.
I know they all hate Jalen Hurts for some reason, or it seems like the vocal minority hates Jalen Hurts.
And obviously the quarterback debate, that could be different. But as far as the whole Kenny G thing, I mean, I've expressed how much I think he's a great player, and I think he can be a great – that's the thing. It's not a knock on a running back. You almost rather be a great complementary back in this league because you can prolong your career. You may not get that big contract, but you can get a bunch more, you know, whereas guys like, you know, these quote-unquote bell cows, I mean, they're done after 4 years. Like, that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Vic would agree with me on this. Is it the worst thing in the world if Kenny Gainwell could be Gio Bernard in his prime?
No, I'll take Gio Bernard right now. Prime Gio Bernard? Like Cincinnati Gio Bernard?
Yeah, exactly. That. Prime Gio Bernard. Like, if Kenny Gainwell's that, I'd be more than happy with that for a fifth-round pick.
Who is the last... I can't even think, Jeff. You know, you would know better than me. Who is the last current NFL running back who got paid substantially that's in the league right now? Is it
probably Melvin Gordon?
Zeke's still around. Did Dalvin Cook
get paid? Yeah, Dalvin Cook got paid. Derrick Henry got paid.
But these are top 5 guys we're talking about.
It
always ends bad though, I feel like.
Oh, Zeke's contract's terrible. Tony Pollard.
Oh, Zeke, that contract gets as
Le'Veon Bell had a bunch left on his, right? And that whole thing went down.
So that
Le'Veon Bell was the worst running back in the league after he got paid.
Zeke's cap hit has increased every year since getting paid, and his yards per carry has decreased every year since he got paid. So, man, I don't know.
So it was funny. Like, I did a story on Le'Veon Bell when he was with the Chiefs. And I wrote he hadn't scored a touchdown since Christmas Day in 2018. He's like, damn, it's been that long? Like, oh, fuck. Oh my god, he saw it.
Damn. Like, time to give Miles that three-year, $24 million extension.
You know that that whole Miles Sanders didn't score a touchdown thing's overblown because
because Hurts did it all.
Hurts, they were on the one. Jalen Hurts brought it in. Hurts,
and then who else was in there? Jordan Howard was brought in for some of those, and it was all things.
Since
but
honestly, Miles a red zone running back. When did we use that as like the determining factor?
He's never been between the tackles guy. But Jeff, real quick, last thing on Miles. How has he looked in camp? In your opinion, is he more explosive this year? Does he look like he has a chip? What do you think he has to offer this season compared to years past?
I'll tell you what, he looked a little determined. I think it was like the first or second practice I was there. He had that nice, like, they did the first play 11-on-11s, they gave him the ball, and he just kind of juked out three guys, and he was gone, and then he pointed at, I don't know who he was pointing at, or it might have been DLG.
I definitely heard it was the media. Oh. I don't know
it
who
was
the there.
Media. It was the media.
It was definitely the media, though.
It was definitely the media, but he was pointing, and I just start laughing, and he knew he sees me laugh. Like, he knows I'm a Penn State guy. He's a Penn State guy, so I'll defend Miles Sanders any day of the week, but he's got something to prove this year, and it's a contract year. It's time to get paid. It's time to get your bag. And
time to cash out, Time to cash out.
I think Miles Sanders is going to get his bag. If it's from the if it's not from the Eagles, it's going to be from somebody.
Yeah, somebody will pay him. So while we're on the topic of running backs, now obviously the Eagles they have Kennedy Brooks, and they brought in DeAndre Torrey from North Texas. They have a bunch of undrafted guys that they might keep around for depth. Kareem Hunt wants a trade out. You have hearing other names. I don't know why Josh Jacobs' name has come up recently, but I've seen his name.
Someone who covered the Hall of Fame game, that's a bunch of BS. Like, Josh Jacobs played. I'm like, guess who else played that game? By the way, Kenyon Drake played. So I don't know what the big deal is. And John McDaniels even mentioned that. He goes, did you guys like only watch the first quarter? And I'm like, they did.
I don't know where those rumors even come from. And apparently I heard that word of like that trade rumor made its way to Miles. Now he's like even more pissed off. So extra motivation. So, but on the topic.
All know Miles is on social media too.
trust me. It is well known fact that a lot of Eagles players are on social media. But Jeff, do you foresee any trades before the regular season for the Eagles? Are they going to go out and get any additional depth pieces? Is there going to be that like one Jay Ajayi piece kind of that they might lock into? Do you envision any of that happening before the regular season gets underway?
Maybe for more depth at running back, maybe.
Right. Kareem Hunt. Not Kareem Hunt.
No. Like, they might claim the guy off the 53. I don't think Kareem Hunt's going anywhere because I don't think Cleveland's going to trade him. They need Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, especially now with Deshaun Watson and all that going on. And I just heard now that apparently they might be in the running for Jimmy G. So you let go of Baker, you bring in Deshaun Watson, you bring in Josh Rosen, and now if Deshaun Watson can't play for however long, they want to bring in Jimmy G. What kind of shit show is going on over there in Cleveland? Well, I mean, we all know the shit show. I guess.
They still have like $50 million in cap space to use, too. So they could just trade for this contract no matter what. They're the only team that can do it.
I don't know.
I didn't know they had that much cap. How they?
Yeah, they're the only team that can physically trade for Jimmy Garoppolo right now.
I wonder why they traded for Amari Cooper. They got all the space in the world to do. Even after Deshaun's guaranteed fucking fully guaranteed contract, they still have all that cap.
Well, here's the thing. They structured it where he only gets paid $1 million this year.
Oh, so he don't care if he don't play. I'm not getting paid this year. Anyway. Oh man. So.
They knew this was coming.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. This was a future play. This wasn't a 2021 play, that's for sure. Or 2022, whatever year.
Yeah, you don't even know what year it is anymore. You're losing.
Yeah, fuck a final, man. When I'm writing articles, I'm talking 2021 and 2020. It's fucking terrible. Who knows? So last topic before we get up out of here. Eagles and Jets tomorrow, the only preseason game that will be at Lincoln Financial Field. May perhaps the only game that we see starters in. I didn't anticipate seeing Jalen Hurts in any of these games because I know that Sirianni values these joint practices. They got one with Cleveland, and I think there's one in Miami, is there? Is it Miami and Cleveland?
Yep. Cleveland and Miami are the joint practices for that.
Right, and I know that Sirianni values the hell out of those. He prefers those controlled environments over whatever preseason snaps are going to provide you with. So Jeff, and then Steve, and I'll ask you what you hope to see out of these couple series. But what should we be watching for in these two series that the starters are playing? I don't even know who's playing for the Jets. Are we going to see Wilson and Garrett Wilson. Are we going to see any of these guys? What are some matchups and some players that we should be keeping an eye on? Not just first stringers, but some other guys that we should be watching for as far as the Eagles are concerned.
Well, I know Carl Lawson's going to play because he said he can't wait to actually get back on the football field again.
Who?
Carl Lawson, the DN.
Who's that? Who's that, for the Jets?
Yeah, he was on the Bengals.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. They signed him a big contract, got hurt last year, so he's like one of those guys. He just wants to get the energy going, you know, kind of get that. Yeah. So I imagine Salah's going to play his starters, so probably a series or two, like the Eagles are. I'm just looking for some continuity. I'm perfectly okay with it. The offense just goes right down the field, kicks the field goal, scores a touchdown, and Nick Sirianni's like, okay, yeah, we're good. So, it's obviously, I do think the Stars are playing. One of the reasons is because it is the only preseason game at the link this year, and they go away for 2 weeks, and I won't be paying attention for 2 weeks. I'll be paying attention to the Baltimore Ravens starting next week. So,
Is that because they're still going on that undefeated streak in preseason? Harbaugh's gonna have Lamar Jackson in there in the fourth quarter, trying to win that fucking keep that streak alive. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's more important for them: the 21 game preseason win streak, or the fact that they basically ran Lamar Jackson the last play of the game to get that 100-yard streak.
Right? Hell yeah, bro. Yeah, that is some savage shit that they ran.
I loved it.
I'm about it. I stomp on their fucking necks.
I was there the next week, and I actually laughed with Harbaugh. I just said to him, like, I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. Steve, you might be a fan of preseason because Rager and Gainwell might get some significant snaps. Your two guys that you're pulling for. What are you hoping to see in this in this preseason matchup, if anything? We'll be there, so we have no choice but to pay attention.
So I'm going to be honest, man. The inner Eagles fan in me just wants to see Jalen at least go out there for one series and just like let it rip, man.
Yeah,
show
dude,
us.
Haul that bitch once. Come on. Toss that bitch downfield.
If you truly worked on your game this offseason, which I do think he does, and he's a confidence player, like we always talk about his intangibles, then in an environment like this at the link, man, just show us something. That's like first and foremost. That's the Eagles fan in me, you know, speaking. Take a step back, the podcaster in me. You know who I want to see, man? I want to see some N'Kobe Dean. We all sat here and we were talking about him potentially being a guy.
Second teamer right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you would think he's going to get a lot of run in preseason, right?
Yeah.
He's going to get some run. I don't even think second team's a big deal with him because TJ Edwards is having a really good camp, and I just think they're mixing and matching guys. They're being as patient as they can with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen and obviously heard, Kazir White and TJ Edwards run the show at linebacker right now. And then you have Davion Taylor behind them, and then N'Kobe Dean will, Sean Bradley, all those guys will kind of filter in and out as they get acclimated with the defense. I think the Jets actually had the best, or one of, I think they actually had the best draft. Who was it? They got Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Breece Hall, they got some players. They got some players
Their last two drafts have been good. It's a shame the AFC.
Yeah, man. It's kind of nice over there at the Jets. They got Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore. They got some players. They got some players over there.
Everybody keeps saying Zach Wilson's terrible. I'm like, then you didn't watch Zach Wilson at the end of the year because he looked pretty good at the end of the year.
Hey, hot take. Zach Wilson's better than Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion.
Ooh. We'll see how Trevor does under Doug, though.
What about
Davis Mills?
No. Who likes Davis Mills? No. Who nobody? They should be trading for Jimmy G, to be honest. I don't know why they're not in the mix.
Because they got Davis Mills. That's how they look at it.
Yeah, apparently he's the next coming of fucking Sam Bradford. As far as accuracy is concerned, that's what they say. Real quick, in honor of preseason, let's just pay our tributes to Sam Bradford's 10 out of 10 three touchdown performance in preseason back in 2015. You remember those days, Jeff?
That was DGB.
You
days,
know what?
Man.
I don't think I hated Chip Kelly more than after that game. I was not a Chip Kelly fan, but I really, because I remember Eagles fans saying we're going to Super Bowl. I'm like, this team.
Dude, that was Walter Thurman days. Remember Walter Thurman at safety?
I love Walter Thurman. He was one of the few I liked on that team. Retired. Dude.
That was prime Jordan Matthews, Darren Sproles. It was looking hot. DeMarco Murray, hell yeah, it was over those days. Run backwards, DeMarco Murray. Chip Kelly, run that boy laterally.
Yeah, you know what I think broke the camel's back of being Chip when he did trade LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, well, or releasing D-Jack outright. Which one?
That one I was on Rayman. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Oh, and the whole Nick Foles, like, I don't believe in him, but all he does is produce. Like, that drove me insane.
You don't put up that touchdown interception ratio just to trade the guy.
It is a rough time. The minute Chip got fired.
He waited for Nick Foles to fail. He really did.
Yeah. And the minute Chip got fired, I forget who the interim head coach was at the time, but first play from scrimmage was
Pat Shermer.
Yep. And first play from scrimmage, DeMarco Murray up the gut for 55-yard touchdown. I'll tell you what,
if you guys ever want some real entertainment, like, I know a lot of the younger Eagles fans think 2012, 2015 is the worst season ever. Go watch 98. We knew they were going to be bad, and they were even worse than we thought.
That was before Donovan and Reed.
They averaged 10 a game. 10 a game.
10 points? 10 points? Or 10 yards?
10 points a game. No, 10 points. It felt like 10 yards. Trust me. It was bad. It was Ty Detmer, Coy Detmer, Bobby. It was so laughable just watching that team.
Yeah, thank God those days are over, and we got superstar players now. We got receivers, we got motivated running backs, we got a very PR savvy quarterback, which goes a long way. I know that people want to see him play on the field, but hey, he's damn good on the press table.
he's a leader, man. He don't fall for anything either. Like,
I know. He covered the mic with Jalen Hurts. He's not playing games.
He said yesterday to somebody, he goes, don't even go there.
He lived because they were like, does Devontae feel any type of way that you call AJ your best friend? And Jalen Hurts said, don't even do that. Don't even.
I forget who even asked that question.
Shut that shit down. I don't know who asked. So when
I've done one-on-ones with Jalen Hurts, he's like, he'll talk to me about anything, man, because I like you, man. You'll try to spur the narrative. I go, what narrative is there to spur with you? Like, you're
the baby
just
arm the noodle arm narrative, though.
I think I laughed at him about that the first time I heard him. I'm like, yeah, did you hear, like, you can't throw the ball 50 yards? He goes, yeah, I know. Apparently no NFL quarterback can throw the ball 50 yards.
Preseason A. I just hope to see. I hope I get one bomb throw out of it.
I'm going as media.
Oh damn, can't see. Well, yeah, I will not be there as media. So it's a lot easier for you to get in that door than it is for me.
I was gonna ask you, am I gonna see you in a suit tomorrow, or
iHeart Media got us club seats for the game, so we'll be there.
Nice.
So that's as close as I'm getting to
like
to
a bunch that. Of heathens in the club section, you know.
Yeah. So what is
that? Yeah, we're sitting with the rest of the population.
Do you guys have a different representative from iHeartMedia at like all the practices? Because obviously, I'm always waiting to see. Like, dude, I know Vic's here. Like, where's he at?
It's a lot easier for you to get in than me. So the way I get in. So you know how like there's like the side door, right, where like the media goes in. So I get in there, but at that point, it's kind of like. You're on your own, figure it out. And then, like, the person I'm with will be like, I'll come get you afterwards, because I'm definitely don't want to be associated with, like, the rest of the media guys. I'm not in the press conferences. I'm just there to watch practice and get out for the most part. So the credential process is, as you know, such a long, tedious thing. And as you know, the Eagles are very, very stingy on who they let in there to see those things. They might be the most stingiest team in Philadelphia, because the Sixers, the Bluecoats, they let anybody get in that shit. But as far as the Eagles, they need to jump through hoops on fire to come see this practice. Yeah.
they might be the most stingiest team in the NFL. I have no problems with any other team.
Yeah, it's any other team. It's
fine. But Baltimore will ask me when I'm coming. Like, they've asked me before. And, like, the Ravens have a good media contingent. It's weird.
Yeah, the credentials are rough, but I do know that they know who the Liberty line is. So hey, one step at a time, we'll get it moving, and maybe this time next year we'll actually be allowed to be at these damn practices, and I don't have to jump through hoops just to be able to see what the team looks like during the summer.
I think they use COVID as like a thing, but no other team's using that.
Yeah, and I'm in the cut of these practices. I try not to be seen. You know, try to stay out the way, because we all know I got some haters over there. And I don't try to mingle with them boys, but appreciate you.
Who are your haters? I don't even know. Dude,
I'll tell you off camera. You know.
All right, you tell me after this pod.
I'll tell you off camera what this is going on. But appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode, a little longer one today, but we had to for Jeff to come in and give his insight on what he's seen at practice, in addition to the national perception on what the Eagles may be this season. Be sure to subscribe to the show. Like I mentioned, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to follow Steven on Twitter and IG at Real Steven Conrad Jr. Jeff, where can the people find you at, and what projects do you have coming up in the pipeline?
So you can find me at Jeff Kerr CBS on Twitter at Jeff Kerr CBS. So in the pipeline, obviously being at the game tomorrow, I'm gonna have a stock up, stock down report. We do that for a lot of teams we cover at CBS. And we'll be doing that. I'll be watching every preseason game this week. I know that everybody goes, your job's awesome, but watching the preseason stuff, because I gotta grade all the rookie quarterbacks, and that's gonna be fun. But going on NFL Plus and watching every throw, I'm gonna be like, man, this is bad. But
yeah,
it's gonna be fun. I mean, Carson Strong might be on it. I'm gonna have to really watch my Carson Strong.
You wanna talk about bombs? Yeah. That's what we're going to get. So be sure to follow Jeff on all his coverage at NFL
Wait,
coverage.
So you said NFL Plus. Should I subscribe to this?
Is that shit new? That shit is horrible compared to what Game Pass was. I can't. They have no more All 22.
It literally is NFL Game Pass, essentially.
Where's the All 22? I can't find All 22 film.
No one can find All 22.
I know. Where the fuck is it? Game Pass had it, and now it's not. NFL Plus is a joke, as far as I'm concerned, so far. But hey, maybe we'll get it together.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't. You're employed by the So go follow Jeff's NFL coverage at Jeff Kerr CBS. Follow me, Victor Williams, everywhere. Whatever digest content, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, at the Philly Pod. We'll catch you on the next one. Maybe we'll do a recap of preseason if anything exciting happens. And then how does camp work? Does it resume after the first preseason game? I don't know the schedule after preseason.
I guess it's not camp because they're on the road.
Yeah, it's not camp anymore. I remember last year
they counted the home joint practice as part of camp. So
yeah, now it's just practice. So it is what it is. But we'll keep you guys posted on anything as per usual. Eagles news, rumors, and all that fun stuff. Keep it locked here at the Philly Pod. Until the next one, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.